So although we tell the story at Christmas time, the story of the Magi didn't actually happen when Jesus was born, but when he was probably 2 or 3 years old. And you can imagine late one night, these three travelers dressed in strange clothes, banging on the door of Joseph and Mary's house. And Joseph answering the door, demanding to know why they were being disturbed at such a late hour. And maybe the first traveler explains the story. Well, we were led here from far away by a bright star in the sky. Your child is going to be very special. Look, I've brought a gift of gold. And I'm sure Joseph would thank the traveler and maybe then ask them politely to leave so the family could get some rest. And then maybe the second traveler would, well, say, I've brought some frankincense as a gift for the child. And then Joseph, getting annoyed, would thank him. And as he started to close the door in their faces, you can imagine the third traveler shouting, but wait, there's myrrh. Thank you, Angie. I just got stone silence this morning. I'm glad a couple people laughed. That now we have two jokes in our Magi joke repertoire. That line, but wait, there's more. There's myrrh. Reminds us maybe, perhaps, of the old infomercials on TV, right? Where they'd roll out the wonderful deals and then, but wait, there's more. And then they'd add yet more to that wonderful deal. Well, maybe a corny joke isn't the best lead-in, but that's kind of how I'm thinking of the story of the Magi. Perhaps there's much more to this story than we usually talk about. Of course, the story is the traditional story of Epiphany, which is technically tomorrow, January 6th. One aspect of Epiphany uses this story of the three travelers from the East to make the point that Jesus was sent for all of the people of the world, not just the people of Israel. And then sometimes people will concentrate on the sensational part of the story, the jealousy of King Herod and how Joseph and Mary have to flee to Egypt. But of course, we didn't even read that part of the story today. But I think there is a lot more to this story. For me, the story is about revelation. The star, for example, is a revelation. God is revealing the incarnation of divine love in human form in the child Jesus, revealing this to those travelers from the East. But Jesus is a revelation as well. I think for Matthew, Jesus is also that guiding star in the night. God's anointed one, the Messiah sent to shepherd God's people, all of God's people, to watch over them and nurture them as shepherds do, to heal them when they're sick, to reveal to them the path of love as shepherds guide, that path that is going to lead them to God. And if it isn't clear from Matthew that Jesus is our revelation, then the Gospel of John, I think, makes that clear. In this first chapter, John calls Jesus the light in the darkness, the light that is humanity's life, the light that gives us life, that is also the Word. Now, as Isaiah says, God's light shining into the world is like the sun rising after a dark and dreary night. When humanity is lost in the dark, God sends light to reveal the way forward to healing and to salvation. Jesus, as God's love born into the world in human form, is that light. Love is our way forward. Jesus reveals what divine love looks like when it is lived out here in this life, in this earth. And that lights the way for us, gives us a way to follow, a way to live. And for John, Jesus is not only the light that reveals, Jesus is the Word. Words reveal as well. They reveal the truth. They tell a story. They describe. They even create. They can create new worlds. We can think about literature, but we can also think about the story in Genesis where God uses words. God speaks and the world, the universe comes into creation, comes into being. Jesus as the Word reveals God's very self to us. And we see that self as grace and truth. And as we come to know Jesus, love incarnate, we come to know God, who is pure love. Jesus, John says, is filled with grace, humble, unconditional welcome, drawing all people, all nations, as in Isaiah, and the Magi from the East, as in Matthew. Jesus as grace means God's love is freely available to and meant for everyone, no matter what. We don't have to earn it. It's a gift given freely without strings attached. John also says Jesus is filled with truth. Jesus is truth, honest, vulnerable, authentic. Jesus reveals God's loving nature to us. Grace and truth, word and light come to reveal and create new life, to show us a new way, the way of love, the way to God. And yet, as John points out, many people hear the truth and they reject it. They'd rather hang on to fear and despair that they know in the world than turn to the love and compassion that God offers. They'd rather reach for the power and the wealth that the world promises than the peace and the justice that God promises. But those who do listen and follow, who accept the grace and the truth in Jesus, come to understand what Jesus is revealing to us, that we too are God's children. We too are part of the story, that the light of God's love shines in us as well. Like the Magi, we also are invited to turn to follow the light in the darkness, to see what God reveals. We too are invited into the joy of the grace and the truth revealed in the life and teachings of Jesus, the way of love. But finding Jesus wasn't the end of the Magi's journey. We actually don't know the rest of their story. What happens after they return home with what they learned? And we don't know the rest of our stories either. What will our stories be from here? Will we choose to set out on the journey to seek divine love? And how will it change us? Will we find joy? Will we be filled with grace and truth? What are we learning from our encounter with Jesus? And what more will we learn as Jesus walks with us in the future? And as the Magi brought gifts, what gifts do we bring to our journey? Are there talents that we bring? Do we bring curiosity? An open heart, a willingness to change, to try new things? Do we know what route we travel? The Magi thought they knew where they were going, and then they were warned in a dream to go a different way. Are we listening to God to guide us? Are we listening for God's call? To quote the prophet Isaiah, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, The glory of God is rising upon you. If we but make room, God's grace and truth will fill us too, that the light of our love will shine in a world of darkness. And that is, in fact, what God created humanity to be, eternal, swirling, dancing lights of divine love. Jesus' life is an invitation to get back on the path we are meant to be on. And so I invite us, ask us to hold and nurture that image this week, that image of an eternal, swirling, dancing light of divine love. That's what we are. Where might that image lead us in grace and truth? We can nurture and reflect on that image as we meditate and listen for God's call, as we think about the gifts that we have for the journey ahead. What does it look like to be a dancing light of divine love as we check out in the supermarket or stand in line at the bank or participate in a Zoom meeting? Wherever you are this week, may the light of your love shine brightly in the darkness for someone in need. Amen.